Hello, one and all. Welcome back into the Fundamentalist Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always the session. I'm your host, Dual Guest. On this episode of the Fundamentalist Podcast, we have reviews for the newest records from Temple of the Fuzz Witch, Attic, Coffins, as well as some show reviews and what we've been listening to. All this and more, plus some snark on the Fundamentalist Podcast. Richard Donahue, thank you so much for joining. How are you, sir?
Of course, anytime. Struggling to pay the rent. All the car is $1,100 repairs, but making besides all that wonderful shit.
Well, let's focus on more positive things. You got to see a pretty killer black metal show, right? Lamp of Murmur, Ebony Pendant, one of nine. Give us a brief review.
Yes. I was actually mainly there for one of nine and Ebony Pendant, and one of nine was fucking awesome. They had a short 35-minute set. Played about two or three off the free CP, which we touched on last year. It's phenomenal.
Eternal Sorcery.
Recommended. Yes. But they are honestly my favorite band of the evening. Ebony Pendant was my fifth favorite record of last year. And I have to say, some of the longer, more atmospheric parts did really translate well in a live setting, as well as the vocalist wearing this puffy Seinfeld pirate shirt with a cape. Another, the bass wearing this cloak with a hood. And then the guitarist, the non-vocalist guitarist, wearing like a chainmail with a cloak, which was fine. But then it took it off some point because it was very hot that evening. And he had like blonde, slim, shady, short hair with earrings. So it kind of just ruined it, fucked it with the vibe up a bit for me. But still really enjoyable. But the band,
like shitty Ren Faire black metal drip on stage.
Yeah. It kind of, I didn't really expect it. I expect like guys in like black and like honestly a bit more dark. They're like Aglock shirt just kicking ass. So that kind of took me for a surprise.
Lamp of Murmur's got a fun stage outfit too. They kind of remind me of some of the assassins from the Kushan Emperor from the Berserk anime, mostly like Silent.
I saw the picture put in the Slack. I kind of figured this. I saw the first volume of Berserk. I need to fucking read it. I've had like 2 years. But honestly, Lamp of Murmur blew them off the stage. Both of them have pendant, but they're the band I was least familiar with. I only really heard the first single off their newest record, Saturnian
Bloodstorm.
Bloodstorm. And they fucking rocked it. They're one of the few newer decibel approved quote unquote black metal bands that they kicked fucking ass. Like I would definitely see them again if they came around here for an hour or so. But they fucking ruled. And actually a buddy of mine, Insomnia was playing at the same venue at the Middle East downstairs. He had a free ticket for his girlfriend to go, so he gave me his. So I was able to pop in there, cut about four Insomnia songs, and very good Hallmark Channel Mellow Death. They played one older song from one of the earlier records, the rest was newer stuff. And it was all right, but I'd never seen it before, so it was cool to catch them. So unfortunately, they played nothing off Across the Dark, which is my favorite Insomnia record. But it is what it is. Overall, great night, good hangs, good people, and go metal show. So if Lamp of Murmur or One of Nine, or you have any pen to come to you, go see that shit, especially One of Nine, because that shit fucking rules.
Hell yeah, sir. Hell yeah. Now give us let's lead into what you've been listening to.
All right. So this week, honestly, nothing really out of the ordinary. Insomniums Across the Dark, Def Leppard's High and Dry, Dissections, Rein Chaos, off of some of the records that we'll be discussing. Aglock's Ashes Against the Grain, and actually, the last High Spirits record, Safe on the Other Side, really killer, like melodic 80s inspired. It's honestly more rock than metal, and very simplistic, but really catchy, very positive lyrics, and it just kicks fucking ass.
You're reacquainting yourself with that Aglock discography as you burned your My Dying Bride merch, since you're going to be seeing that.
I was really pissed. You know, I was at Catching Twice, at MBF and Brutal Assault, which I'll be attending with you in August, but those cons had to cancel all their fucking dates. It's not health related. So, because they
weren't they also supposed to be at Prophecy Fest last year that we were supposed to be at see as well?
Yes, and they actually played, as did I.
Yeah, and you canceled that time, so they just returned the favor.
I guess so, but and I was looking up, they were supposed to play in 2018, but then Aaron Stanthorpe, the vocalist's daughter, got cancer. So that's, of course, a reason to cancel your live show, 100%, family comes first. But they give no reason. They ghosted MBF for 2 months and canceled all their live dates. So big fuck you to My Dying Bride as a longtime fan. So eat my fucking ass, fuck faces.
Indeed, sir.
What about yourself?
For me, I've been going down a little bit of a rabbit hole. So we just recently did a Hammer of the Underworld, and I found a band with fucking 52 monthly listeners. Really, really Holy cool, sabbed out doom metal band called Sleeping Village. Their 2020 EP, Holy Water, is really, really cool. Got some nice earworms in there. So if you're a fan of sabbed out doom metal, and who the fuck isn't, I think you'll really dig this. And you'll get some fucking cult points by telling your buddies, hey, check this band out. And almost guaranteed they will have never heard of this band. But you could be the one to turn them on to it. That's Holy Water. Check them out. Band I have to give you credit for turning me on to, which is Celestial Sword. Just a little bit more up the ladder when it comes to Spotify monthly listeners. They have 567 per month. Still not exactly tearing up the charts, but they just put out a brand new album called Nocturnal Divinity. And if you like Castlevania, lo-fi, black metal, then this is your jam. Imagine a vampire atop a castle amidst the swirling darkness. And that kind of explains everything you'll get. Just listen to this opening song title, Lugubrious Entrance of the Vampiric Entity. Yes. Waves of Deafening Soliloquy. Indeed. Crimson Embrace of the Nightborn Serpent. Okay, I'm on board. Celestial Sword, Nocturnal Divinity. Check that shit out. Finally, getting even more vampiric in here. The band, Vampiric. I was listening to their 2022 EP, Untouched by Songs That Angels Sing. You just listen to that title and yeah, yes, I'm on board. The highlight track is obviously the eponymous one, Untouched by Songs That Angels Sing, but I'm also a big fan of Infernal Revelations and Venus Morning Star. That's Vampiric. Check that shit out. And that's really about all I've been listening to. I've also been listening to a ton of Bathory. Can't imagine why, though. For some reason. That's neither here nor there.
One more album I forgot to tell the listeners about is the band Manila Road.
Heard a lot Manila about Road. Why?
They're a Christologic record from 1983. That's some fucking really killer, epic fucking metal. That's one that's been hear a lot about, and that shit fucking rules. I first heard them from that Visigoth's first record. They cover the song Necropolis, which is where that song on Christologic was on. So I went back and listened to it. And his vocals aren't the best. I'll be honest with the music's kind of so great. It kind of, he sells it, not unlike a certain man, which we'll be talking about in the future. But yeah, Manila Road, Christologic, like old school 80s epic metal. Check that shit out. Back to you, Duel.
How about back to you, sir? Because we're going to start off the review section of the pod with the band that you suggested, and that is Japan's own Coffins. They're back with their latest full length entitled Sinister Oath. It was released on March 29th on Relapse Records. 9 songs. Cavernous dripping death metal vocals, mid-tempo beats, unrelenting brutality, grooves,
death fucking doom.
Maybe a little bit in between. Richard, give us your opening thoughts.
Well, I've been a massive fan of this band for years. Thanks to the MBF this year, I'm incredibly fucking stoked. They're actually formed in 96 with the original, well, one of the original guys, Uchino, who's still the sole remaining member of the band, who actually was their original drummer in 96, 97, and then moved to guitars and vocals. So, and it's been keeping the ship going. They've had several different vocalists, bass players, very much a revolving door lineup. But this new one's been pretty, this new lineup's been pretty consistent since about 2015. And they're definitely one of those bands like Sabbat or Nunslaughter. They have like a million splits and EPs and live shows. Look, they're in Metallica, and Cycling Metallica is pretty thick.
And, yes, which makes a lot of sense for a band that's been around for almost 30 years. This is only their 6th full length. So you would figure a band of their size usually wouldn't be able to get away with putting out a full length record every 5 years. It's just not really enough to tour on. But I suppose the splits and the singles and the EPs kind of ease the suffering of the fans waiting. It also gives them an excuse to go back out on the road and, you know, beat it into the ground.
Definitely, definitely. And I would describe the sound overall as about, I think about 75-80% just death doom style metal. But other 20% is they can write these really killer, like hardcore punk inspired songs. So they go play this 8-minute long epic. There's like 2.5-3 minute long song, just fucking rules. And it really kind of helps break up the monotony if you're really unfamiliar or not necessarily a fan of this genre of metal like I am.
Yeah, I think it says in the second track, Spontaneous Rot. It's like the very first verse riff that comes in is very much a hardcore beat on the drums. And it was definitely different. It definitely took me by surprise. Although I have to say that as the album went on, I'm glad that that was really the lone standout as far as like the seemingly inexplicable hardcore influence coming out of nowhere. Because this was my first experience with the band at all. I'd never heard of them before. Mm-hmm. And from the opening intro, I was like, okay, this is going to remind me of some like early 90s death metal, kind of mid-tempo, kind of knuckle-draggingly heavy. I can get down with this. And then that drum beat came in and I was expecting maybe more off-the-wall moments and they never really came. And to be honest, I'm kind of glad that it didn't because they have a nice groove, shall we say, or they're in a groove of bringing the groove. Lots of head nodding going on here.
Oh, most definitely. And this is their first one since their last record was Beyond the Circular Demise of 2019. I would say, honestly, this is a better record. Not that that's a bad record. It's just, maybe it's a little more oomph to this one. The title track's fantastic. Chains have the hardcore punk song on the record. And then you have this 9-minute behemoth of a track called Everlasting Spiral, which has a kind of bluesy I Hate God riff, which kind of that theme kind of continues for the second half of the album. They kind of really knows what kind of bluesy licks, which makes sense because they've done shows that I Hate God in Japan. And if you go on Spotify, they actually have a cover of the classic I Hate God track, Sister Fucker Part 1. Maybe in the future they'll cover Part 2 as well.
Track that really caught my attention was one called Things Infestation. And that's because that has the one of the lone deviations vocally on the record. There's a certain part towards the end of the song where they have this layered vocal where there is that guttural, but also kind of a more of a high pitched yell, something along the lines that Corpse Grinder does a lot in those 90s Cannibal Corpse records. And I guess really in all of them, it's kind of a mainstay of Corpse Grinder sound, but the vocalist here does it. And it's so cool, but it's not nearly as prevalent on the record as it should be because one, it really breaks up the monotony of the cavernous vocals that's going on almost unrelentingly. It gets, you know, a little old, to be honest with you. I mean, I've made no qualms about it that this style of death metal vocals is like becoming one of my biggest pet peeves. And it's a real turnoff for me in a lot of these death metal bands. But seeing that he's capable of something else and how much cooler it was, and I'm like, oh shit, he can do something else. Give us more of that. And he doesn't. It's like, you raggedy bitch, letting me know you're capable and then telling me you're lazy. I wasn't a fan. It's
like that one cherry on top of that. Oh, so I get.
Yes.
But overall, I think it's approved in the last record. My favorite track is the Spontaneous Rot, which is the single. The title track, Sinister Oath, Headless Monarch, and the really awesome, doomy closing song, Domains of Black Miasma.
Yeah, that was also a really killer one. That one, Things Infestation and Headless Monarch, as you mentioned, I thought were pretty cool. Although the title track, Sinister Oath, I would say I also enjoyed as well. I would say I enjoyed the whole record as a whole. It's, you know, groovy. Almost unrelentingly so. I'm trying to think of a singular blast beat that I heard on this record, and I'm struggling to conjure one to my mind. Hardcore beat, sure. Mid-tempo, single bass drum kicks, yeah, sure, galore. Blast beats, not so much. And it's because of that lack of diversity in the drum tempo, and it's that lack of diversity in the vocal stylings that I'm going to ding this record a few points. But overall, it is a fun introduction to this band, and I wouldn't mind going back and listening to some of their other stuff.
I personally give this record a 3.8.
I'm going to give this record a 3.2, which means Sinister Oath from Coffins gets a 7.0 from us here at the Fundamentalist Podcast. Now, I was saying that I was a little surprised that the death metal band didn't bring the blast beats. I am equally surprised that this next band, Temple of the Fuzz Witch, the black doom metal brand, does include blast beats on their third full-length release entitled Apotheosis. Now, we covered the four singles, A Call to Pray, Ashes, Bow Down, and Cursed, previously on this podcast. And so those of you who have been listening will know that this has been one of my more anticipated releases of this year. The record finally released on April 5th. We also mentioned it on our latest Hammer of the Underworld edition of the podcast. It's out on Ripple Music. 9 tracks, 40 minutes. Not quite that long when you consider the genre that this band is in. But I have to tell you, this band does a really great job of mixing together really fuzzy, really heavy, really sabbed out doom metal with a more than liberal dose of 90s black metal. Not really super orchestral or atmospheric in that sense, just a lot of fuzz, a lot of shrieking, and then the occasional blast beat. Richard, what did you think of this record?
Well, let's do this on the singles. I was expecting more just kind of, honestly, generic sludge, some Blackened, almost I Hate God-ish vocals. But then when I dug into it more, there was quite a bit of melody and singing that really worked. It was really good compare, contrast with, you know, the Blackened parts and the melodic parts. Also, almost reminded me some of the last 16 album where they got a little more melodic on it. So, but it really worked. So...
this first track that they start off with, A Call to Pray, is actually pretty simple. It's like three chords, just super cranked up on the fuzz pedal, and it's just unrelentingly heavy. One of those riffs that makes your upper lip curl, and you're like, all right, boys, I see where you're going with this. And then the next two songs, White and Nephilim, kind of throws you for a curveball. It's like, oh, you think you know where we're going, huh? Here's some black metal. Here's some blast beats. Here's some higher pitched shrieking, adding a little bit of evil to your fucking sludgy stoner doom sound. And all of a sudden, you don't know where you're going on this ride, but you're glad you're on it. And not quite as underground as the other two that I mentioned, with 52 and 566 monthly listeners. This one has 8,668 on Spotify. So not exactly an unknown band, but, you know, they're not exactly tearing up the charts either. Maybe you'd see this band in like the back pages of some metal mag and like, you know, some corner article. But for an up and comer, you could do a lot worse than this. This band is really a great example of the final product being greater than the sum of its parts. It's really not overly technical at all. You could even say it's not technically impressive at all. But when mixed together, it creates not only a great miasma, it also is groovy and it's heavy. And so the doom and the sludge, you know, adds the headbanging to the black metal. And then the black metal adds that evil, just a little bit of tinge to the almost knuckle-dragging elements of the band, which all together create something pretty unique and something that I had a really great time listening to. The singles like Bow Down hit just as hard. I actually really enjoy where that one's placed at track 4 on the record. And as I mentioned previously, it's less than 40 minutes. So it kind of gets in, gets out, and really lends itself well to multiple listens. Big, big fan of this one. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I guess the best way to describe Spreckles listening to it was it reminded like a really comfortable pair of shoes. Like you kind of idea what's it sound like. You fit them, put them on, they just fit real fucking good. Like it's very enjoyable. Pop it on, have a good time. But
zapatos muy comodos.
The song I didn't want to call the song Sanguine. I liked a lot as well. Nephilim, opening track called Pray, and Curse of the single we discussed. But my rating this record is a 3.5. I like this one a lot. I'll be coming back to this one. I want a break from the knuckle-dragging doom of Coffins. Definitely a little lighter, fair affair by comparison.
You should definitely go and check out their 2020 release entitled Red Tide, and also their first album, which was just self-titled, Temple of the Fuzz Witch, is also pretty cool. Apotheosis from Temple of the Fuzz Witch gets a 7.5 from us here at the Fundamentalist Podcast, which leads us to our final review of this episode, dear listener, and that is Attic. Attic's new record, Return of the Witchfinder, released on April 5th on Van Records. Now, from the opening note, the opening salvo of The Covenant, all the way through Synoda's Horrenda, 50 minutes of unrelenting, unabashed worship metal. Do you like King Diamond? Of course you do. Do you like Merciful Fate? Who the fuck doesn't? Do you think that any band should do more than just worship their idols? Or should they bring something new, original, or, I don't know, change the playbook even just a little bit? The boys in Attic say, why would we do that? And you know what? I'm not mad at them for it. Because from start to finish, this is a straight up Merciful Fate worship band, right down to the soaring operatic vocals that would give King Diamond a run for his fucking money. I have to say,
ridiculous. The vocals. I'm not used to this. I'm more of a King Diamond fan than Merciful Fate, honestly. And as he's not an artist to do that much, so listen to an album that I know this good, like, it's fucking just insane. Almost like comical at times, but the tunes accompanying them are so badass that, you know, it works.
It is. The vocalist, whose stage name is Meister Cagliostro, is just downright showing off so many times on so many tracks here, reaching octaves hitherto unseen since the days of King Diamond. You thought vocalists from bands like 3 Inches of Blood or so was cool. They got nothing on this band. And in the intro, I should actually walk back a little bit. It's not that they don't have some original thoughts, because like Temple of the Fuzz Witch, you might be surprised to find that this band also includes blast beats into their music, which is not something you really expect in your new wave of British heavy metal, but lo and behold, it's here. And everything else you might expect is also here. Fantastic leads, I might say. Great songwriting, even though it's 50 minutes, so the track length is a little hovering around 5 minutes, and it's a little bit longer than that, because two of the tracks are sub 2 minutes, and so they are on a little bit of the longer end of things. But if you're a classic new wave of British heavy metal / Merciful Fate fan, King Diamond, then you're going to be just fine with that. The lyrical themes, surprise, hunting witches, occult, other evil things like that.
Evil.
Yes. But you know what? The horn's going to be in the air all the fucking same the entire time that you're listening to this record. I don't want to beat this band with the bat of modernity by saying that it's just a worship band. It's just pastiche. It just happens to be really good pastiche. However, I am struggling to see that much of a change from the playbook outside of the occasional curveball, like a blast beat, so-and-so. But even the blast beats that are accompanied there aren't really having the soaring vocals over it. Something that reminds me of like what Trivium was doing on In Waves in 2011. That would be really cool. However, the really heavier sections where some of that modern sound creeps in tends to just be instrumental. And I kind of wish there would be more of those really impressive soaring operatic vocals over it. Might have made for some pretty cool sections.
Yeah, again, this is my first introduction to this band, and I thought, you know, this shit really rules. I know you say, you know, yeah, it is very much King Diamond worship, but I mean, of all the worship bands of like Marduk, Dark Funeral, Autopsy, all these bands like that, there really aren't that many bands that truly do worship King Diamond. So even if it is, you know, more of the same, there's like this band, I hear the band Portrait supposedly sounds like Merciful Fate. And, you know, back when Ghost first came out, people said that's like Merciful Fate. To be honest, I never understood that comparison.
Oh, definitely. That first record, Opus Eponymous, is a straight up Merciful Fate worship.
I never saw that personally, but I mean, that's a teach their own. But Yeah, I mean, so that's three bands right there. And there's how many Entombed clones do we have? So if it is, you know, at least it's something doing something a little more original in that sense. A band that's very few of those clones. So credit where credit's due.
And you know what? If you're going to worship a band, one, you could do a lot worse than Merciful Fate. But secondly, you got to have some real talent. You have to have some real vocal chops to be able to emulate the king. The way Meister Cagliostro does here. And you know what? More power to him, because he's got some pipes. I don't know if any of that stuff is auto-tuned. That doesn't, I'm not going to pretend like my ears are so perfect that they could tell, but if not, then I bow down. This guy can fucking sing.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, and when I was writing my favorite tracks, no doubt, I just kept the writing. I pretty much wrote half the record down. Like the real opening track, Darkest Rites, The Thief's Candles, fucking phenomenal. Offerings to Balbereth, Azrael might be the catchiest chorus on the whole fucking album.
The Baleful Baron up in the castle. Up in the castle is just that little intro, but it might as well be the intro to The Baleful Baron. It's really cool.
The Baleful Baron. That was the next song I was going to mention. But yeah, this rips. I'm glad this song is definitely one of the returning to for the rest of the year. Definitely.
Come on. Lyrics like cast your spells and open the gates of hell again and sacrifice some children's blood tonight. Like, okay, sir. All right. I see where you're coming from. I dig it. Much like Temple of the Fuzz Witch. I
like it.
I'm a newfound fan of this band, and I too will be coming back to listen to more. They do have a couple of other releases under their belt as well. 2012's The Invocation, as well as 2017's Sanctimonious. So this is the first release in 7 years. Glad to have them back, so someone like me can become a fan. 4 out of 5.
I'm going to give the same 4 out of 5.
Just like that, Addict's Return of the Witchfinder wins the episode with the highest score of the three, winning an 8.0 out of 10. If you want to let us know what you thought about any of the records that we reviewed tonight, or maybe you want to send us some records that you think we should be talking about, be sure to drop us a line at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook or on Instagram at the exact same handle, The Fundamentalist Podcast. Richard, any final words for our dearly beloved listeners?
Agaloc, if you're listening, if you could play Not Unlike Ways at your Friday performance at Maryland Death Fest, it would make my whole fucking weekend. If you can make that happen, which you played the last 4 shows you play, make it happen at MDF, fuck yeah. That's it.
Excellent. That being said, thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next time.